Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, that's Never-Ending Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
And I am Doug.
We're going to be doing something kind of special today.
We are. This is our first ever Month in Review episode since... We'll give you a peek behind the curtain. Don't mind the guy in the green suit. We record most of our episodes way in advance.
Yeah.
So the ones that you guys have listened to, we probably recorded, you know, 6 months ago
or so. Yeah, it's been a while.
So we thought for the new year, we'd do something special. And at the end of every month, we'll record a month in review episode. Talk about anything new that we've done that month, read or watched or played. We'll address any comments made on our podcast episodes that were aired that month and go from there. So plus it just gives us an excuse to talk more.
Right. And we'll be hopefully apologizing for any controversy we cause with our hot takes.
With our, yes. I'm sure the Christmas episode alone, I've been attacked greatly. So,
well,
but also vindicated.
Vindicated.
A lot of people share the same opinion of Elf that I do. So
that was very brave of you.
I, you know what? I am a voice of the people. I'm like Shea Guerrera.
Oh, exactly. Exactly like him.
You need Cesar a red Chavez. Guerrera, yeah.
A red beret. And
yeah. That's all I need.
Yeah. That's basically, I can't tell who's who.
Yeah. So. I know.
So for the record, it's January.
It is January.
The end of January, which is crazy because it feels like time's flying, you know, because we just had a year. I mean, we got another one.
Yeah.
Since,
it's like it just keeps happening.
It's like a cycle, a vicious cycle we can't get out of.
Groundhog year.
Oh, no.
There we go. Let's hope this one's better than the last two or three.
Or four.
Or four. Yeah.
Or 30.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy. So, yeah, so just going to talk about anything of importance that's happened in that month since most of our episodes are on time delay, as it were. They're like little time capsules that we've buried in the internet that we release for you.
Exactly.
But, so what have you done new? Anything of note?
I think the big thing I wanted to talk about was I started reading some Denny O'Neil, Neil Adams, Batman.
Okay.
I got it on Hoopla. I feel like we're like a plugging service for Hoopla. So
we are.
Maybe they should pay us at some point.
Yeah, not a paid sponsorship, but you know what?
Not yet.
Hoopla, be in touch.
But I started reading that because I really wanted to read some Denny O'Neil.
Some classic stuff.
Because I've already read Green Arrow and Green Lantern. Or is it Green Lantern and Green Arrow? I guess it's Green Lantern and Green Arrow.
Green Lantern and Green Arrow.
Which is really amazing stuff. But I wanted to see their take on Batman. And I did not realize... I knew Neil Adams was a good artist, but I did not realize how good of an artist he was.
Yeah.
I think I like their dynamic on Green Lantern and Green Arrow better, but there's something about the art in the Neil Adams Batman that is just, like, out of this world.
He's got some of the great covers for the Batman comics.
Those guys were a great team.
Yeah.
And so, I think we talked about Green Lantern and Green Arrow in the superhero comics to read.
That you should read,
So I kind of took that to heart, and I was like, I want more of those guys.
Yeah, they're a great team. The what they were able to produce together is pretty special. But I would agree with you. I think the tandem's work on Green Lantern, Green Arrow was over a span of time better.
Yeah.
But boy, they had some great Batman work. And what they did for Batman kind of paved the way for everything we know Batman as today, right?
That's the other thing I was going to say. They really took Batman from... Because this is post-Adam West.
Yes.
And nothing wrong with Adam West. I've obviously grown to become quite fond of the Adam West Batman. But this is them kind of resetting his character a little bit.
Gave him more of a darker edge.
Yeah, and he was more of a detective.
So. Yes. Yeah, it was good stuff. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it's been really good. There was some other stuff. I was reading some more Man-Thing by Steve Gerber. I've been reading some Man-Thing for the last, like, 5 years, off and on. And I'm almost done with this volume of it. I really love Steve Gerber. And I'm glad that we got at least a little bit of his work. It's kind of hard to find. He's one of those guys that had a couple runs on like, obviously Howard the Duck and Man-Thing, and then Omega the Unknown, but then he was kind of, like, all over the place otherwise, so it's kind of hard to get his work, so I've been starting to track down, you know, individual issues of Steve Gerber-written comics, you know, because I'm a fanboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that...
And we should be.
I don't know if I've talked about Steve Gerber on here before.
Oh, boy, you know what? I don't know.
I don't know. He created Howard the Duck, and I don't know if he created Man-Thing, but he did a landmark run on
Man-Thing. I'm not sure if he did or not.
I don't know. I'll look it up. But
yeah.
But Man-Thing is Marvel's Swamp Thing, basically.
Yeah.
And if you watch the Werewolf by Night special, he is Ted in the Werewolf by Night special. So.
Which, if you haven't watched that yet, shame on you. It aired, what, back in October?
Yeah.
But man, it is fantastic. They did a great job. It's got a very old school horror movie feel to it as far as the way that they present it. And yeah, Man-Thing is just amazing in that.
He did not create Man-Thing, but it does say here on Wikipedia that Adventure Into Fear, Steve Gerber's 39-issue run on the series, is considered to be a cult classic.
Oh, there we go.
So that explains why I'm into it so much.
Yeah, but Steve Gerber did introduce Howard the Duck in the Man-Thing universe, and that's how we've got him. So
yeah,
awesome.
So what about you?
So as you know, we've talked about this a lot, not during a podcast, but I've struggled with reading over the last year or so.
Yeah.
I just haven't done as much. Still buy things.
Yeah.
but just haven't enjoyed them. As we look over, I've got two black short comic boxes filled of new things that I need to read.
Oh my,
indeed. but I did actually start reading again just this month, and I actually brought them up with me so I could remember the titles. So the first one I read was a book called Bigfoot Frankenstein.
Yeah, and that is, that's checking all my boxes already.
Yeah, so if you don't know this about us, we love cryptids, especially Bigfoot, and I love Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So it is everything the title says. It's literally this descendant of Dr. Frankenstein, for any Mel Brooks fans, he takes all these dead Bigfoot that were slaughtered in the beginning of the book and turns it into one massive Bigfoot.
That's pretty hardcore.
So, fun little story by Mark Bertolini. The artwork's fun. The story's goofy. You know, it's nothing earth-shattering, but it's just, it is everything. If you're a fan of, you know, just B-horror movies, this is that kind of book. It's got campy humor and gratuitous violence. Mm. So, yeah, it was great. The next one I read was called, it's a Transformers book, Shattered Glass. So it's kind of like the What If stories and the Elseworld stories. They just take the Transformers universe and flip it on its ear. And so the Decepticons are actually the good guys in this story. The Autobots are the oppressors. But they've kind of broken into three factions. Optimus Prime's a ruthless leader. And Bumblebee is like this crazed leader of his little cult. And then Prowl was the leader of the other one. But he's not really in it. He just gets talked about it. So Starscream is actually, like, the hero of this book.
Wow.
And he, without spoiling anything, you know, him and Jetfire were scientists who found a way to interface the Allspark, let's say, with Cybertronian technology so that they could, you know, talk with the Titans. And it just kind of goes from there. So yeah, very interesting. Soundwave, the one thing I will say, Soundwave's character is ridiculous but hilarious in it. Like he's this radio man just pumping out the message to all his underground brothers and sisters. He's like even wearing a bandana around his head, a camouflage bandana. It is absolutely hilarious. So my expectations weren't too high when I started reading it. I'm into stories that kind of take what you have known in the universe and just switch it around. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This one actually worked. It was really good. So there is a second volume to this that I would definitely, I'm definitely going to pick up. So I would recommend, I'm pretty sure you can get this on Hoopla or Comixology Unlimited. But so yeah, Transformers Shattered Glass, by Danny Lohr, and the art is by Guido Guidi.
Wow.
And yeah, good stuff. Next, I read the third installment of a Ed Brubaker line called Reckless. And this one's called Destroy All Monsters. If you don't know who Ed Brubaker is, I'm pretty sure we've talked about him. He is the master of crime noir comics. I mean, it is, the stuff that he can pump out is just absolutely amazing. He's working with Sean Phillips on this. Follows a private investigator, Ethan Reckless. He's done a lot of bad things in his life, and now he's just kind of doing this little side hustle. He owns a movie theater, and that's where he works out of, and does private screenings for himself and his assistant, and he just takes on these cases. It's brutal, it's violent, but the mysteries in there are really good. But yeah, it's an interesting concept, and the stories are always told from his perspective, and it's like he's an old man typing out his memoirs.
Oh, okay.
Basically. But yeah, this one was set in the 80s, so it had that nice 80s feel to it. Each story has had a different decade, basically, feel to it. The first one was set in the 60s when he was young and just started, and then 70s, and then this one was in 80s. I believe there's one more book they're going to be putting out in this line. At least I think there's only four, but maybe they'll change their mind. But it's, if you love crime fiction, I definitely recommend any of the Reckless books by Ed Brubaker. And the last one was something different for me, and it's called Afro Samurai. This is the director's edition. It's the 15th anniversary of the release of this book.
Oh, wow.
By Takashi Okazaki. And the first thing that I'll say is the artwork in this is just absolutely amazing. It's all black and white with different shading on that. The only thing that gets color is the blood. And I love it when books do that. It just gives this nice feel to it. But as we were talking before we started recording, reading it is such a fast-paced read. Anyone who's a fan of anime shows, now I've not watched a lot, but as I was reading the panels and going through the fight scenes, I could just visualize how those would have played out in an animation style. It was really cool. The story follows the Afro Samurai. The story begins with him being a young man, and his dad was the number one, is what they call it. So the most powerful man in the world. Well, he ends up dying, and then he becomes number two. But you don't know how. So there's a huge gap. So I'm curious if there's going to be any flashbacks. I have volume two already on hold. So yeah, it's a vengeance story. He's going through trying to find number one, and he just slaughters a just army of assassins. It is just it is fast paced. It's action packed. It's bloody. It's it's gory. It is absolutely great. It had such an interesting feel. So there's a foreword to it, and I was telling you this too. I was curious how he got the influence for this. And the author had mentioned that he was a huge fan of Soul Train as a kid, and Don Cornelius in the Soul Train. And then he loved hip hop music and just that whole culture. And when he decided to go out on his own and create stuff, he kind of wanted to work with that. So it's a samurai story set in futuristic times, because there's a lot of different weapons being used and people with weird arms and robot arms and stuff, but then you've got the hip hop culture mixed in there, and man, you don't think that would work, but it does. It is. I've not read a lot of manga or watched a lot of anime, but boy, this was a great introduction for me. It was really fun.
And now you're on the hunt to watch Afro Samurai, right?
I'm going to, yes. I want to find, because I do know they did an animated series for it.
I believe it stars Samuel Jackson.
Yes. And so I'm definitely going to try to find that, because, man, that was fun. That was a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. I flipped through that book, and the use of blood is frequent and interesting.
Yes.
Is the way I'd put it.
It is wicked.
Yeah.
But it was fun. What else? What else nerdy?
Well, I don't know if this is nerdy, but I was going to talk about something that I'm thinking about doing
uh-huh.
as a project.
Okay.
So it's comic related, so that's kind of
that. Nerdy. Hey, that it's our podcast. We can do whatever right. the heck we want.
Well, so as you know, we have a mutual friend named Michael Nino.
Yep.
Hello, Michael.
Hi,
and,
Michael.
He's adapting The Odyssey.
Yes.
As a 90s comic book, which is an amazing project, and it looks like it's going really well so far. But that inspired me to think about adapting some classic literature. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would try adapting Don Quixote.
Nice.
Which is, if you don't know, sort of an obsession of mine. From the last year, I listened to it on, almost said tape, but it was not tape. It was on audio.
You're not that old.
Can you imagine how many tapes that Don Quixote would take?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. But, so I decided that I would try to, I just bought a copy of Don Quixote, but it's a really nice one, so I had to buy another one because I want to mark it up.
Mm.
So that just got in the mail today. And that's my like lifelong goal, I think, is to
fun.
Adapt that. I was talking to Michael about doing the art, and I was like, I'm kind of discouraged about doing the art, but he said, you know, I don't see why it can't be cartoony. But if you read Don Quixote, it's quite over the top, so
yeah.
I think cartoon art would be fine. So I'm going to try it. The only thing that's scaring me is drawing horses.
Mm-hmm.
They're notoriously hard to draw.
Always draw them from the...
Yeah.
Don't worry about their legs.
Just I'm just going to do a side profile on there their you legs go. all the time. But, yeah, so that's my current goal. It's, you know, it's going to take a lot of time, I think, because I have to read it and adapt it and then draw it and color it and everything. So I was thinking about releasing it in single issues, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep it flowing.
Absolutely. Know? Well, that'd be fun.
I don't know. We'll see. It's funny because the whole thing about Don Quixote is him being foolishly idealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about this project, is foolishly idealistic.
Maybe you end up doing a comic about a guy trying to do a comic on Don Quixote.
Well, we'll make a documentary about a guy trying to do a comic about Don Quixote.
Okay.
Although they already made a documentary about Terry Gilliam's
yeah.
movie that took 20 years, 30 years to make?
Something.
So... But we got that. So that's my current project. So if you are into classical literature, you know, I would recommend listening to Don Quixote. It's a little easier than reading it. It still takes 37 hours.
Jeez.
Which is a lot. I don't know if everybody has 37 hours. Just spread it out. But that's probably more than one borrow. If you listen to 1 hour a day, you'll have to borrow it two times. So.
Wow.
So.
That's a lot. Yeah. I own it digitally. And I've looked at the pages, yeah. and I'm like, oh, that's...
Yeah,
it's that, quite... I may have to wait till I'm retired.
Well, hey, don't wait till you're retired. Wait till it's adapted.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Which Perfect. Might be by the time you're retired. So. I
don't know. Let's see what else. There's the Ant-Man trailer. Ant-Man trailer.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. That thing looks nuts.
Yeah.
That looks like it's going to be a whole different level of content for Marvel. I don't know.
Yeah, so, and this is the fun thing when you start adding time manipulation, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can just do whatever the heck yeah. you want. You know, there's already speculation that, oh, old characters that, you know, are gone will be back, you know, for Secret Wars.
Yeah.
You know, all of this will lead up to Secret Wars. I'm just curious if it'll be the more newer version of Secret Wars from, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm thinking it will be because yeah. the old Secret War was just like a lot of good guys and bad guys
yeah.
stuck on a planet, and the new Secret War was like a patchwork planet where yeah. it would make more sense to have.
And we know they're going to introduce Doctor Doom, so I mean yeah. this would all make sense.
Yeah.
To have that, and then you could bring back Old Man Logan. I mean, there's so many things you could do with the new Secret Wars in this universe. And then, of course, you can wipe it all away by saying this was this world,
right?
And this universe, and not this one, right? So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Kang looks absolutely amazing in it. I'm constantly intrigued how Scott Lang and Ant-Man ends up being in the middle of some of these very important, you know, turning points of movies.
That's what I'm actually quite worried about, Scott.
Yeah.
In this one. I don't know that he's going to make it.
Yeah. I would concur. I think, at least in this version, it's going to be a I live or I don't, but everything gets made better kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
I really like Scott Lang, so that's why I'm so worried. Because I like Ant-Man. Because when they announced Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, I was like, oh my God. Because I thought he was Hank Pym.
Yeah.
But then when they said he wasn't Hank Pym and he's Scott Lang, I was like, oh my God. Perfect. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. I don't know what I was doing, doubting them.
Yeah. He's nailed it. He's been fun. So, and I think his movies get underrated.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people didn't like the second one, and it had its... I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Definitely one that I'm looking forward to seeing. There are more superhero movies coming out this year than I had remembered.
Oh, what's that? What else is coming out?
Well, you've got the Marvels for the MCU.
Yep.
That comes out, I think, in like July. You've got Shazam coming out soon, Fury of the Gods. There's the Flash movie that's, they say, still coming out. I can't believe they're sticking with Ezra Miller. And if you don't know the hubbub around him, just Google it. And he is not a great person.
No.
I can't believe they scrap like Batgirl and these other projects and get rid of Henry Cavill everything
totally
else.
Backwards.
But let's keep the kidnapper / groomer / assaulter /
Was he also like kind of leading a cult or something?
I don't know. Good Lord. I wouldn't be surprised anymore. Know. But hopefully we don't get sued for slander.
We're not going to get sued for slander. He's going to show up to our house.
Oh, that's it. That's true. This is all alleged, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
He saved us.
Just an interesting choice keeping him and not the others. But so I'm not sure. I still kind of want to watch it, though, because, you know, you're supposed to have Michael Keaton show up, right? So that's the thing that's kind of got me conflicted. I don't want to support Ezra Miller, but I want to see Michael Keaton as Batman again.
Yeah, maybe you can just watch the, like, 10 or 20 minutes that Michael Keaton's in there.
Yeah.
Like, leave the theater, come back, leave, come back.
Oh, there
leave.
We go, yeah.
Like, just have, I'll just be there and I'll be like, he's on screen. I'll
okay, he's
you.
Coming. Okay, that sounds good.
Keaton alert. I'll flash the Keaton signal.
The Keaton signal. But yeah, so all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, sadly, I don't really care about Titans, but Titans and Doom Patrol are ending.
Oh, are they?
Yep. This is their last season.
Hmm.
So, that's sad. I didn't think that they would even make it this long, though, so...
I was going to say, Doom Patrol's had a good run.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't watched anything past season two, but Wyatt was into it after you had said something. And, man, what I watched was great.
It's really good. I haven't seen season four yet. I'm waiting to watch it with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But this is it, so...
Savor it.
Mm.
Just soak it in.
That's right. Luckily, we have HBO Max, so I can watch it
Whenever you want. There you go.
It's like an old friend.
Yeah. I'm still trying to decide if I want to watch Black Adam or not, since it's
on there. Oh, yeah. I
haven't yet.
I forgot about Black Adam.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I will.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Wyatt said he watched it the other day and said it was an absolute silly movie.
Oh, my God. He's a silly goose.
He said it was a silly movie, and I'm like... That's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
That's not what you want to hear about the power shifting or whatever.
DC and Warner Brothers has got a... We're going to have an episode just talking about the DCEU coming up and live action versus animated movies. Spoiler alert, they do much better with the animated movies. I don't know what they're doing. It doesn't even seem... I mean, they bring in James Gunn, and I'm not even sure that's... bringing any stability to it. It is because he's on a different page than the Warner Brothers executives. It's just ridiculous. So I don't know. We'll probably get another 20 Batman movies and you know, six more Superman movies and then they'll wonder why people aren't going anymore.
Right.
So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. I'm wondering if they're just keeping Ezra Miller so they can reset everything and then they'll recast him.
Maybe.
Because Flash will probably be a Flashpoint movie. That'll probably be what they do.
So it's easy to replace him after that, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So
again, now they're starting to mess with time, so they can do whatever they want to. And it's weird that the Robert Pattinson movie, Batman, is going to be its own universe. Yeah. It's not going to be weaved into anything they're doing. So, which is odd.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
So, I don't know. DC's been fumbling the ball since... After Nolan's three movies, they just have no real direction. But I don't know. But there was one more big thing that happened in the world of nerddom.
Okay.
And that's why we've got our friend here with us.
Oh, yes. Would you like to introduce
her? I will. So sitting next to us, sitting quietly for the last 26 minutes and 30 seconds, is our buddy John. He is... you may know him from us talking about him in our Dungeons and Dragons episode. He is the dungeon master, if you will, dungeon daddy, if we're being a little bit more flippant.
Yeah.
But he is here, agreed to talk with us, because there's a lot of stuff happening in the world of D&D right now that most of you probably don't know or care about. But, you know, we got to appeal to all of our nerds out there, so... John, do you mind rolling down the highway with what Hasbro's doing?
I suppose I could, yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
The situation's been pretty fluid recently, and I can only really describe it as Hasbro wanting more money.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, they've decided they would change a contract that stood since the early days of D&D called the Original Gaming License. And under that license, anybody that wanted to create any third-party D&D content, they could just do it. They can market it however they want. They could do whatever they want with it. They can make anything. And now, Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast have decided that they want to find every way to monetize it as they can. And they've sort of declared war on their own community to do so. And as a result, and it's called the OGL 1.1 right now, or OGL 1.2 is the newest edition that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bunch of ways for them to control the content, ways for them to change around their contract whenever they want and only give you a 30-day notice. And it's caused a bit of an exodus recently. With people moving over to their competitor, Paizo, Pathfinder. And you might find this interesting. Because what they recently announced, that what is usually an 8-month supply of their handbooks, they sold out in 2 weeks.
Wow!
After all of this came to light. Because they made their own contract, which is similar to the one from the 90s and the early 2000s, which they call the Orc.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically the original OGL. And so everybody's been moving over to them, and Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast sort of shot themselves in the foot. It's an interesting situation with D&D, but... the community is strong, and the community will outlast even Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro.
Wow.
Yes.
So, we've anyone who's listened to the podcast, there's been kind of this running joke that all paths lead back to Hasbro.
Exactly.
And we even discussed, I think, in the Dungeons & Dragons episode how... in the past year or two, they've made more money. They've seen more money than they ever have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One would imagine that that's kind of what spurred this, is that they saw that money and they trying to find out how they can get more.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume so. They see all these shows like Critical Role and Dimension 20 making tons of money off of their third-party content and their rule set. They see all of these... people making supplements and mm-hmm. like figures and campaigns, and they want to get their fingers in that too.
Oh, good golly.
They claim it's so they can destroy content that spreads hate and goes against their message.
Uh-huh.
But that's not really a problem.
Yeah.
I've been in this community for years now, and I've never seen any supplement or anything like that spread hate or any kind of bad will amongst the community. It's all just been nerds making nerdy content for fellow nerds.
Yeah. And then just keep it going. That was the one thing that I see until recently. I thought everything was D&D. Like, all of this stuff was just somehow a branch of it. I didn't realize until this story came out that it was just people creating their own content, but it was still part of the D&D universe. And that, to me, was really cool. I don't know why you would want to stifle that. Because you said the campaign we're playing is third party, right?
Well, the actual campaign itself is not third party. That's Wizards of the Coast.
Okay.
But the box set and how everything's sort of put together, and the book has had additions and things subtracted out of it. There's props in it and such. That's all third party.
Gotcha. Interesting. So, I mean, besides creating content, you can create accessories based on things.
You can create YouTube videos where you just talk about, like, stories people post.
So, because you're deeper into this community than we are, because we're just newbies, I mean, have you had any conversations with, like, other D&Ders or whatnot and what they're going to be doing? Or
oh, tons of them. Tons of them. And most of them say they're going to move over to Pathfinder.
Gosh. It's so weird how quickly that can...
Yeah.
They're literally going to destroy their own universe.
Yep.
Which just shows you they had none of the power to begin with. It was always the people that were enjoying it and creating the content.
100%. Yeah. D&D's always been kind of a niche hobby. Not just D&D, but tabletop role-playing in general. And they managed to build a really big community, and they finally managed to get D&D to not be so looked down upon. And it's actually mainstream, and people all over the place talk about it and play it, and even if you don't play it, you know what it is now.
Oh yeah, you can watch celebrities playing D&D. I was gonna say, who was it, what's his name?
Joe Manganiello.
Yes, Joe Manganiello and all of those guys. I think Will Wheaton has
he's got his own.
I mean, it's just wild. It just blows my mind. So how does one... I know you just said the Pathfinder has sold out in 2 weeks, but so I'm assuming they've got an online presence that you can go to, and then other things?
It's certainly smaller than D&D's, because D&D has had tons of time to grow and has exploded, and you can look up just about anything on D&D online with a quick Google search. And you can do the same with Pathfinder. And they've certainly got content creators and third-party creators as well, making campaigns, supplements, videos, but nothing on the scale of D&D. But that's likely to change. They managed to create their own rival by doing this.
Wow.
That's...
'Cause Pathfinder and Paizo had very little on D&D other than, like, the occasional video game that sold well and some supplements and handbooks, but now they're just exploding into the scene, and they really took the market by storm.
Gosh. So, I mean, is it realistic? How realistic is it to you that, you know, like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, Pathfinder's bigger than D&D?
Oh, I think it's completely reasonable. Completely. If Hasbro and Wizards keep doing what they're doing, then it's going to end up like that. I already think the damage is done. They've managed to crush all the goodwill with their community in just a week or two, really.
Yeah.
It's almost impressive in a sad, kind of horrifying way.
Right.
You know, I keep thinking I'm drawing parallels to... This is Hasbro, right?
Yeah.
I'm drawing parallels to when they killed Optimus Prime, and they thought that was a good idea for sales. Hey, why don't we just kill the idol of millions of children? They'll buy more.
They'll buy more toys.
It's like, did you not learn anything?
Yeah.
I'm sure they made more mistakes like that, but I'm just drawing, you know, drawing some parallels.
You know what? Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it.
That's right.
And there we are.
Silly, silly Hasbro.
Man, you know what? And now Chris Pine's Dungeons & Dragons movie is going to bomb because of this. No one's going to want to go and watch it.
I have to say one thing about that movie. So, I play a bard.
Yeah.
I find it so funny that Chris Pine is the bard in that movie. I'm like, Chris Pine is the bard? What? It's just funny to me. I think, like, anybody could have played the bard, but Chris Pine, you would think he's, like, the leading hero, because he's Chris Pine, he's, like, handsome,
everybody he should be the cavalier, him. Yeah.
But he's the, you know, I obviously I have a personal connection to the bard, but I don't know, maybe I was thinking...
So you're the Chris Pine of our group.
Well, I didn't want to say that, but wow. Yeah, that's true.
That's why everyone stares at you.
Yeah, that's what well, I'm so beautiful.
Yeah, that's it.
So beautiful.
So speaking of Dungeons & Dragons movies... I'm going to throw you guys on the spot because I totally forgot to mention this before. So we all know that Jeremy Irons had that Dungeons & Dragons movie. What was that? Late 90s?
Something like that. Maybe early 2000s. Early
2000s. Did you know there were two sequels to that? Not starring him.
Oh, okay.
But there were two other... Did you know that, John?
No.
No.
I didn't.
I just... Recently, I saw something... this past week, and that showed two more Dungeons & Dragons movies after Jeremy Irons, and it's like, how?
What, now, so we kind of talked about this, and I'd like your opinion about it. We don't know how the new Dungeons & Dragons movie is going to do or whatever, but it seems to me that Dungeons & Dragons is a hard thing to make a movie about. Do you think that's true, or like, why do you think so? Or
well, if you're wanting to make it serious, then I'd say it's hard to make it good, but... As long as it's, like, the campy humor and jokes and lots of tomfoolery happening, I wouldn't say it'd be terribly hard to make a movie about. But once you start getting into the lore and all of the various gods and countries and stuff like that, all the different species, I can see how it would need so much, what's the word? Information thrown at you in order to understand the world, because it's hard to just jump into
right.
But if you're not really paying attention to all of that and you're just making jokes about a bear that looks like an owl, then that works, you know.
I've always thought to go on the comedy side of it, to play the duality of it. You start with a group of kids or adults, whoever, a group of adventurers in the front room, and they start their adventure, and then you see it play out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of flip back and forth between them, and you can have those awkward conversations, and then, you know, the action pauses because someone's trying to figure out what their role was, and... Oh, wait a minute. What do I add to that? Do I have a proficiency there? To me, that would make it a fun Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Well, I think I don't remember specifically, but there is an episode of Dexter's Lab like that. You remember that show?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
There's an episode where they're playing D&D. I don't know if it's actually called D&D, but they're playing it, and it goes back and forth between their characters, because their characters are all, like, handsome adventurers,
sure.
And then their players are, like, Dexter and his
friends.
Well,
there we go.
So there, and that's one of the best episodes. I mean, this is like 30 years ago and it sticks out to me. So that's one of the best episodes.
There we go. My idea stolen.
Well,
Dexter's Lab,
Dexter's
of course.
Lab. Man. Your old foe.
My old. Curses DD. But yeah. What other thoughts do you have on all that mess?
Well,
besides go to Pathfinder.
Yeah, go to Pathfinder. I mean. I doubt it's going to be something that'll be solved anytime soon, because Hasbro and Wizards have been releasing statements and stuff and releasing new versions of the OGL, and nothing really changes
in it.
They're just making the same contract with some different words, and they're hoping for something more interesting to happen in the world to take everybody's eyes off of it. You know, and so they can just kind of sneak it through.
Yeah.
And I recommend looking into it, because it affects people even if you're not really interested in D&D, because it's another one of those situations where corporations try and grasp at a little bit too much of a hobby and strangle the life out of it in order to get just a little bit more money out of people. So even if you're not interested in Dungeons and Dragons or D&D, I suggest looking it up and maybe looking up one of the petitions to sign and support your local nerds in their tabletop hobbies. That way, maybe it doesn't spread over to things that you're interested in as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, even if you're not interested in D&D, you probably know somebody who is interested in D&D. If you listen to this podcast, all three of us are interested in D&D. So if you support us, then you're, by proxy, supporting our plight.
Yeah.
I guess. Now, you know what I want to know is, what would Gary Gygax say about all this?
You know, I think he's been pretty quiet about it. Usually he's pretty vocal on Twitter, and
yeah,
people are asking him questions and stuff. Same with, I think his name's Jim Crawford, the author of 5th edition.
Oh.
I think they've been mostly quiet, but I don't usually look at Twitter.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't even have a Twitter.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Get with the times. How are you going to retweet this?
How indeed? I'll just, you know, I'll put it on my Instagram.
No, you're going to put it on a stone tablet?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I'll find a pigeon outside. I'll send it out.
A wild pigeon.
Yeah, a wild pigeon, absolutely.
A homing pigeon.
You give me some time. I'll get it trained. It'll be fine.
Set up a monolith in front of your house. Hammurabi style.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord. Well, gosh. So what else? Is there anything else?
I'm trying to think. I feel like there was something else I was going to talk about. Maybe it was... Oh, I started watching... So... I did start watching a new show.
Uh-huh.
And by start watching, I mean I watched one episode. so far. But it was interesting. Have you guys heard of the show Wynonna Earp?
Yes.
On the Sci-Fi Channel?
Yes.
Nope. It's about the heir of Wyatt Earp.
Mm-hmm.
And when they turn 27, they inherit the family curse to kill these demons that come back to life in the town that they live in. And I was like, you know what? This is on Netflix, and I was kind of bored. And I also have, like... I'm like a magpie. I was like, ooh, what's that? What's this? What's that? And so I started watching. So that's kind of interesting. And I think you would like it because it's kind of modern Western.
Mm-hmm. There's actually some comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So Wynonna Earp. And I think it started out as a comic first.
Oh, did it? I
believe
so.
Yeah,
that's cool. But yeah, so that's something I might try to watch more of if I get the attention span back. I'll tell you, my attention span for reading and writing and drawing and watching has just been shot lately. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because it's wintertime.
It's just been a strange couple of years
because
I usually read like crazy and it's been rough. And then, I mean, how many stories have I started writing and I haven't finished?
Yeah, I feel
so
that.
So that was one of my New Year's resolutions. It wasn't to lose weight or anything. It was actually to finish
mine too.
Some of my stories that I started and then get back to reading more. Because I would read comics and then I would read books and I was alternate between the two so I wouldn't get... burn out on one of the mediums. I did start and by start one episode, and we were talking about this, The Last of Us, new on...
I can't believe we haven't talked about that.
Yeah, which is new on HBO Max.
How is it?
Really good. Enjoyed the first episode. I was telling John before we went to go get you, at the beginning, when they're setting up, you know, the main part of the story, you're kind of starting with how this all went down, and... one of the scenes, just anyone who's played video games, especially more modern ones, will get this. It was just like a cutscene.
Wow.
Like you're sitting there and you hit this action and then we're doing this. And then it's like you've lost control. And then you've got this dialogue between the two main characters and they're just trying to get through this. It really felt like you're watching a cutscene in one of the games. Now, I've not played a ton of The Last of Us.
I have not. Have you played it?
No, I haven't had a PlayStation other than PlayStation 2 and 1.
Oh, yeah, you're a PC guy.
I am, yes.
He's a PC gamer. He's above us.
Yeah.
Us lowly console guys.
Indeed, peasant.
Yes, exactly. He stares at all my consoles on my desk, and he just writhes in pain. It's like his kryptonite.
I've been watching that PS1. All the memories coming back to me of my good buddy Crash Bandicoot.
Yes, Crash Bandicoot. So funny story about Crash Bandicoot. We're going to get off on a tangent here. When I first got that PS1 reacquired, Crash Bandicoot was one of the games I had to have. Dad and I played that all the time.
Absolutely.
Every copy I've ever purchased freezes after I beat level one.
Oh no.
Every single one. And none of them, we can't tell anything's wrong with them. And there's nothing wrong with the PS1 because I've got tons of games that I've played in there. Crash Bandicoot, for whatever reason, every single copy froze after I beat level one.
What'd you do to him, Doug?
I don't know. So, you know, life hack. I bought the remastered Crash Bandicoot collection for the Xbox One, and I just played on that now. And so there we go. But yeah, the PlayStations, it's funny. I have the PS2 there too, which I got from my Uncle Dave. I never had a PS2. Because after the PS1, and then once it came out, I actually, and we talk about this in our episode, video, the evolution of video games, which hasn't come out yet because, you know, like we said at the beginning, we record really far in advance.
We're from the future.
We are from the future. but now I think I own more PlayStation 2 games than PlayStation 1 games. And it's just, and I think it's because I had so many Xbox games that I'm just getting the Xbox games I used to have because I don't have a regular Xbox anymore. I had sold that years ago, and I've just not felt like reacquiring one of those because, I don't know, I don't see the need.
Yeah.
Maybe a 360 someday. I did enjoy my 360.
Play some Halo on it.
Yeah. Some Halo, some Ultima Alliance 2.
Oh.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm not sure where I was going. But Last of Us, I think, is what we were talking about.
Get back to it eventually.
Very good so far. I haven't watched episode 2, but looking forward to it.
Are they releasing weekly, or is it all at once?
Weekly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a regular...
Oh, an old TV show.
It's like an old-style TV show, you know, like Amazon does too, where it's...
What, are you going to tell me there's commercials next?
You know what? Not yet. But isn't Amazon's going to that too, right? Where if you don't want a certain level, you can have Amazon Video, but it'll have commercials.
Yeah.
And obviously Hulu does that already. If you don't have the super duper package.
Then there's Freevee, they have ads.
Yep. And then I think Disney Plus is going to a staggered membership level where you can have ads. So we're literally recreating cable TV. It will be exactly the same. I'm sure eventually you're going to have one company or several companies will offer different streaming packages. And then you pay $50 a month and you can choose this many streaming packages. I mean, it's literally, that's what we're heading towards again. So... Cable 2.0. Skynet wins.
Yep. That's it.
It's terrible. It's Demolition Man. Whatever.
But choose your dystopia.
There. As long as it's not Dread.
Oh, no. I don't think they have TV in Dread.
No, I don't. It's too gloomy.
Actually, they may have TV. I can't remember. I'd have to reread it. So.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. I guess.
There we go.
Good old Blade Runner.
Oh. Man.
Set in the year 2019. Yeah. Oops.
Well, that's what was always funny about Thunder the Bear Barbarian, too, right? 1994.
It's so funny because, like, Thunder the Barbarian was, like, 1978, right? 1979. Or, no, 1980.
1979, 1980, yeah.
So 1994 wasn't that far away.
No.
But they thought, the apocalypse will be in 1994.
Here it is. This is how it's going to happen.
We couldn't even set it in the year 2000, 14 years from now.
Hey, they had a... Jack Kirby had a vision.
Well, he always did.
Oh, Lordy. What else you got? Anything?
That's about it. I think those are the big things that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Want to give a big thank you to John.
Yeah, thank you
for coming on and
absolutely
and speaking the truth on all things D&D and Hasbro and corporate greed.
We are not endorsed by Pathfinder, but would be open to the option.
Yeah, yeah. We will answer the phone if it starts ringing. Yeah. Come on, Hoopla. Come on, Pathfinder. Let us be like the beta testers for you. You know, we can do all kinds of things for you.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so I can't think of anything else either. So hopefully you enjoyed this first month in review. This is something we're going to try to do every month, and just kind of talk about new things we've done that month, and hopefully it keeps things fresh and gives you something a little bit extra besides those two episodes we released. Yeah. So
anything to add before we leave?
No, not particularly. Just that I appreciate you guys inviting me on, letting me hang out in the Nerd Loft here, look around at stuff, hang out.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
We'll have to have you back sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe when we follow up on the Dungeons & Dragons stuff.
Yeah.
You like video games too, so we can talk about video games or role-playing games.
Absolutely. You know what? We're about ready to do
board games.
We're going to do a board game card game episode soon, so yeah. Which you guys won't hear for, you know, probably 8 months from now. But hey, stay tuned. That's how we keep you hooked.
Yeah.
Going to talk about Westerns too.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, there's so much ahead.
It's going to be a fun month.
And so much behind already, but you don't know that yet.
But
so.
You don't know that. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's fun having separate timelines.
Yeah. Oh, we've created a...
It's like the community episode with the dice.
Hopefully we don't.
Hopefully that we haven't just created the darkest timeline.
Oh, jeez. You know what? That's the perfect way to wrap it up, though, because you're talking about dice.
There we go. We talked about dice. And hey, Dungeons & Dragons, even though we're upset with them, watch Community, and they've got two episodes on Dungeons & Dragons. Some of the funniest thing on TV.
Exactly.
So, but that's Community.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things that was ever on TV.
I hope the dice rolls are in your favor.
All right, yep. Hope you all get nat 20s, and as always, stay nerdy.